A court is deciding whether fewer mobile phone companies is better than more. T-Mobile and Sprint are in court today defending their planned merger. The competing phone companies are facing off against a coalition of more than a dozen states. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer, what's got the states so exercised here?
Well, they say the merger would stifle competition, lead to higher prices for consumers. And they point out that T-Mobile and Sprint have driven intense competition with AT&T and Verizon, pushing down prices. The states also say thousands of workers would lose their jobs if the merger went through.
And how do federal regulators feel about this?
Well, the Federal Communications Commission and Justice Department approved it after reaching a side deal with the Dish Network. Sprint will sell its prepaid business to Dish. Dish will also buy Sprint cell towers and enough wireless spectrum to start its own national 5G network. The idea is it would compete with the combined Sprint and T-Mobile.
Would that provide enough competition to keep the prices down, though?
Well, the attorneys general don't think so. They say Dish wouldn't be a big enough player to drive down prices. They say if T-Mobile and Sprint are allowed to merge, cell phone carriers' prices will be billions of dollars higher, and there will be less innovation. Sprint and T-Mobile say their merger would enable them to roll out a faster 5G network.
Nancy, thank you. After three interest rates cuts this year, the Fed is expected to keep rates right where they are when Chairman Jay Powell and team meet this week, particularly after Friday's strong jobs reports and a reassuring signal about the economy. So mortgage rates also stay steady? Well, maybe not. Here's Marketplace's Amy Scott.
When the Fed cuts short-term interest rates,
your home equity loan rate goes down, student loan rates go down, car loan rates can go down, but mortgage rates don't necessarily change.
Mortgage broker Melissa Cohn with Family First Funding says that's because mortgage rates are tied to the longer-term 10-year Treasury note. Benjamin Keyes teaches real estate at Wharton.
The duration of mortgages on average tends to be in the range of 10 years because most people don't stay in a home for 30 years.
10-year Treasury yields move up or down depending on the long-term outlook for the economy. Greg McBride with Bankrate says earlier this year, investors got spooked about a possible recession and poured into bonds. Mortgage rates fell from just under 5% this time last year to under 4% by mid-year.
And all of that happened before the Fed even started to cut short-term interest rates.
It eventually did because of the same concerns. Now that the Fed has paused, mortgage rates have been bouncing around on mixed signals from the economy. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
In early stock trading, the Dow is down 12 points, the S&P 500 up 2 points, the Nasdaq up 0.2%, and a noted economic policymaker has died. Former Fed Chair Paul Volcker died today at 92. He was the one who slammed the brakes on inflation in the early Reagan administration and was on the forefront of regulations that followed the 2008 financial collapse. You spoke, we listened. Marketplace socks are back, and right now we have a real deal for you. You can get not one, but two pairs of socks. That's one for each of our new Marketplace designs when you donate $60 or more today. Or you can sign up to give $5 a month, same deal. Support independent news you trust at marketplace.org and get these snazzy new Marketplace socks as a thank you for your contribution. And thank you for believing in what we do. We really do appreciate it. Now, a taste of a new memoir from a daughter of Haitian immigrants who figured out how to have a career in politics despite the personal finance risk. Karine Jean-Pierre worked on some very high-profile campaigns and is now a political commentator on NBC and MSNBC and a spokesperson for the progressive advocacy group Move On. Jean-Pierre's book is called Moving Forward. She joins us from the Marketplace Washington Bureau. Good morning.
Thank you so much, David, for having me.
Your plan, at least your parents' plan, was for you to become a doctor, Karine. But after a crisis with that, you found this other calling, politics. The thing about that other calling, though, is that's not a secure job that pays a lot.
No, it is not a secure job that pays a lot. Look, when I came to this country, my parents, like many immigrants, are looking for a better life. And in their minds, for their children, the way that they saw success is they wanted me to become a doctor, a lawyer, or engineer.
this path would eventually lead you to work to help to get President Obama elected in 2012. But you worked in some campaigns where candidates spectacularly flamed out. John Edwards, who ran for president, mm-hmm. Anthony Weiner in New York. I mean, how did you manage the financial risk of these tenuous jobs?
It was tough coming from a working class family, not having a lot of money. It is hard to get into politics because it's known for being for young people who come from financial wealth. So I lived in the basement apartments. I lived on people's couches while I was jumping around trying to figure out that career. In many cases, I went into debt because it's hard. It's very hard to be in a career where you're working from campaign to campaign. It's not financially stable, and you don't come from a financially stable background.
And this theme that's emerging here in this conversation of economic inequality, it's something that you really take on in the book. You write that you, quote, believe that the growing economic inequality between the 1% and everyone else is an existential threat to the survival of the country that you love deeply. I mean, it's interesting. You can find people on both the left and the right who would agree with that. Do you think politics, as it's currently constructed, is equipped to take on that big one?
I hope it is. I mean, that's the thing. You, especially in this presidential 2020 election, you look at the candidates that we have in the primary, and some of them are talking about big, bold ideas. I think many of them are trying to figure out how do we get people like my parents out of the situation that they are in. I think we are in a place where we can take this on in a real way, where you see that divide as you just listed out. And there's ways, there's policies and ways to fix that.
Karine Jean-Pierre's new memoir is called Moving Forward, A Story of Hope, Hard Work, and the Promise of America. She works for the political action group Move On and is a political analyst on MSNBC. Ms. Jean-Pierre, thank you so much.
Thank you, David, for having me. Really appreciate the conversation.
And a last check of interest rates, with the Fed expecting to leave rates alone during a meeting later this week. The 10-year yield, the benchmark, is down 1.83%. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.